You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
John 14. You're going to love this. Everybody say, I'm going to love this. All right, we'll see if you have any faith or not. John 14. This is, you know, we've been teaching on peace. We taught on the God of comfort and strength last Wednesday night. And then we taught on peace, a matter of trust, Sunday morning. And peace has to do with trust. It has to do with faith. Peace has nothing to do with what's going on in your life right now. Peace has to do with what you're believing right now. Because everything in your life can be a mess, but you can have peace if you're trusting God. You know, that's what Romans 15:13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with comfort, fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. So how does God fill us with peace and fill us with joy? In believing. Thank you for your enthusiasm here. But if you don't start believing, you're not going to get peace. You say, well, if this happened, that happened, I'll have peace. No. Peace is not going to come from a happening. It's not going to come from a circumstance. It's not even going to come from a need being met. There are people that have everything they need and don't have peace. There are people that don't have anything and still have peace. Now, I believe God wants to prosper, and I believe God will meet your need, and all those things are true. But, you know, having that information, knowing God and His character and His nature and His promise, I have peace when things aren't going right because I know they will line up and they will turn out okay. And my peace comes from my faith. He fills you with peace in believing, Romans 15:13. And then Isaiah 26:3 is real familiar scripture. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee.
There you go.
Woo, hallelujah. Because he trusteth in thee, because he trusteth in thee. So God will, in one sense, God will keep you in peace when your mind stayed on him. So peace is a mindset and peace is a matter of faith. What is your mind set on? What are you focused on? Or if you're focusing on the problem and you're not focusing in on the promise of God, then obviously you can't have peace. Peace doesn't come from circumstances or achievements or accomplishments. Peace comes from God. That will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed, fixed, focused on thee because he trusteth in thee. So just, you know, when you get in the Word, you see those statements, you ought to take it apart. Think about it. What's that saying to us? Peace comes in believing, through believing. So if I believe God, he fills me with peace. Peace comes as I stay focused on him. So I'm going to have to captivate my thought life. Are you with me? I've got to renew my mind. See, that's where the battle is, in my mind. See, you have to renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you want to prove the will of God in your life, you're going to have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You're going to have to get the Word of God inside of you. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, we cast down imaginations. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Now that is not spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. That word strongholds there in context is talking about your mind. It's talking about strongholds in your mind. The devil many times has outposts in your head. Hello? He has set up shop and he's got an outpost in your head. Some thought, some thing you just can't let go of, or some negative idea or thought that you have got to root it out. It says the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you have to captivate your thoughts. See, this is, if you want peace, there's some steps you have to take. There's some choices you have to make. When you've got a lot going on, the bullets are flying and activity is like a whirlwind around your house of all kinds of things and bad reports, you're going to have to center in. You're going to find your focus. You're going to have to captivate your thought life. Get a hold of the Word of God. Focus in on Him. Stay your mind on Him. Trust in Him. And He'll keep you in perfect peace. But it has to do with your thoughts. It has to do with the way you think and what you think about and who you think about and so on. You know, peace really, is knowing it's going to be okay. That's what peace is. Peace is knowing it's going to turn out all right. It has nothing to do with what's going on right now. It has nothing to do with what you're experiencing. It has everything to do with what you're believing. Fear is just a matter of believing the wrong thing. You have fear because you believe something's going to happen. It's the opposite of faith. The antithesis of faith. Okay. John 14, found it? So we went over some of those scriptures that I just quoted there and just talked about some of those. Quoted a lot of others too. Well, I don't know if I quoted 2 Corinthians 10:4, but you know, every sermon's a new sermon with me. I can preach the same thing over again, use different verses. But John 14, notice what Jesus said. And then my Bible's written in red, so we can believe this. John 14, chapter, first verse, Jesus speaking. These are very intimate chapters, 14th, 15th, 16th chapters, when Jesus is alone with his disciples, actually all of them except Judas, who went to betray him in the 13th chapter. And he really gets down, has some personal talk with them about prayer, about the fact that he's going to give his life, but he's going to come back again, he's going to rise again, and talks about the Holy Spirit here. It's real intimate, real personal chapters. I mean, it's awesome. You ought to read through there. 17th chapter is just Jesus talking to God, talking to his Father. It's a prayer that Jesus has to his Father. But in this 14th chapter, notice what he starts out with, first verse. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Everybody say, let not.
Let not.
Okay, let's chew on that a minute. When he tells us to let not, then whose responsibility is that? That's ours, isn't it? So trouble, he's not talking about trouble coming. He's talking about letting your heart be troubled. You can have trouble around you and keep your heart from being troubled. Because really, you start talking to someone, trying to minister to someone, trying to help someone, many times they'll say, yeah, but don't you see this going on? Don't you realize what I'm going through? They keep bringing up the circumstance. They keep bringing up the happening, the thing that's happening. What they're looking for is not peace. They're looking for happiness. Yeah. Happiness is happenstance. It has to do with circumstances. You can be happy if everything's going right. Everybody can be happy. Anybody can be happy when things are going right because of what's happening. That's where the word comes from. But joy and peace is another thing altogether. Joy and peace doesn't come from what happens. You ever thought about that? Happy, that's where the word happy comes from. See, it comes from happenings, what's happening. We're all happy. You know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know the old saying. But that has to do with things happening, see? But peace doesn't have anything to do with what's happening. Peace has to do with the. Told you it's gonna be a fun night tonight. Peace has to do with what you're believing. It has to do with the inside, not the outside. Peace has to do with your decision, your choices. Peace is not only a focus or a mindset. Peace is not only what you're believing, but peace is a decision. And a choice. And you decide whether you're going to have peace or not. I know many people say, well, that's just hard. That's not hard. That's the truth. That's what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He didn't say, let not trouble happen. Well, you can't help trouble happening. We live in a broken, fallen world. Trouble's all around us. Like that sermon you heard years ago. Trouble everywhere, you know. But you don't have to be troubled. Didn't hear that sermon from me, incidentally, if you're listening to this tape. I never preached a sermon, trouble everywhere. There's victory everywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. You got victory in Jesus. There might be trouble out there, but praise God, you can have peace. Glory to God. And this is what Jesus is saying. This is a decision. This is a choice. This is your will involved. This is your own will. It's kind of like David saying in Psalms 23, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He was making a decision. He was making a choice. He could have feared, but he decided not to. Now, you can get depressed if you want to. You may think you earned it. You can sit at home, you can close all the doors, turn the lights out, and put all your blues albums on. And just enjoy your depression. Walk around and sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. The thrill is gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a blues day. You know how it is. You encourage those kinds of things. Many times we do that ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. We have found the enemy and he is us. We throw a pity party and the devil and us is the only two people that show up, you know. Well, Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. And of course, you know, you're wondering, well, that's great. I mean, how though? He gives a little insight there. He says, you believe in God, believe in me. Wow. That is so strong. I mean, I think we read those things, just right through them, just read the next verse, keep going, miss the whole point he's making here. There's a couple of great points he makes here. You have a decision. You have a choice. It is your will involved here as to whether you're going to have peace or not. You can do something when the darkness comes in. Like that song we sing, when the darkness creeps in. I call your name. I call your name. See, don't you give up. You call on his name. You start praying. You start believing. You start calling on God. And you make a decision. I am not going to let my heart be troubled. Peace is a choice. And it's your choice. It's not anybody else's choice. It's your choice. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. No, this is your choice here. This is something that you can make the decision on and you are solely responsible for. You can trust God or not. And that will bring peace. You can believe God or not believe God. That's your choice. Yeah, but I got this hat. No, nobody's denying there's tragedy. No one's denying the problem or the pain or the loss. What we're saying is, what are we going to do about it? That's what Jesus is saying. Are you with me? Are we going to stand up and believe God? If we will, we can get a grip on this and we don't have to let our heart be troubled. So he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice the 23rd verse. Let's skip over verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, he was talking to Judas, not Iscariot, not the one that betrayed him. He was already gone. This was just the 11 of the disciples here this time. 23rd verse says, Jesus answered and said to him, if any man loves me, he'll keep my word. Y'all see that? You love Jesus? Okay, if you love Jesus, you'll keep his word. Just goes hand in hand. I mean, you can't say you love God if you're not keeping his word. In fact, we don't have an issue with obeying God or keeping the commandments. We have a love issue, really. When we go out and sin, we're not loving like we should. Because if we love like we should, we will obey God. I just got a problem with this, or I got a problem with that. No, you just got a problem loving God. Okay. Let me move on because that's not what I'm teaching on. If any of you love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. 27th verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, not a thing on the outside. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, you put all that together, it comes down to this. He's telling them, look, if you keep my word, you'll have peace. Yeah. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you to help you with this. He's going to teach you all things, and that teaching of the word is going to bring peace to you. In fact, he's going to bring to your remembrance everything I said to you. My peace I leave with you. Notice how he didn't separate that. His peace was part of the package of the word and the Spirit being with you. Now, without the Word and the Spirit, you're not going to have peace. And that's your decision. The more you keep God's Word, the more peace you're going to have. And the more you know of God's Word, the more you're aware of God's Word, study God's Word, read God's Word, the more the Holy Spirit has to work with, because that's what He'll bring to your remembrance. What? Whatever things He said to you. Now, if you don't know a whole lot, there's not a whole lot the Holy Spirit can bring to you. Because He only works with the Word. Right? And it's the Word that's going to bring us peace. Now, God doesn't give us peace like the world gives us through things. God does bless us with things. He does prosper. We know that. But peace doesn't come that way. I mean, God can give me $1 million. That's fine. God has blessed us in this church with all kinds of finances and all kinds of buildings and all kinds of land, but we never got peace from any of that. We got our peace straight from heaven. In fact, we had peace from heaven before we ever had land, because we had God. When you got God, you got peace. We had His Word, see, and it is our trust and our faith that brought us peace, not the things that we experience or the things that we have here. And so that's a different thing He's talking about here, not like the world gives. I'm giving it to you through My Word. I'm giving it to you as you trust Me and as you obey Me, as you keep My commandments. I'm going to give you My peace as you do what I say. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your remembrance what I say. And He's going to teach you what I'm saying. You know, oftentimes we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to move, and He's really waiting on us. We want the Holy Spirit to do something, but we haven't really given Him anything to work with. It would be like hiring a painter to paint your house. Just hire a painter to paint the house. Yet you don't buy any paint, and you don't buy any paintbrushes. And he could be the greatest painter on the face of the earth. He could be the Michelangelo of house painting. Hello.
Amen.
And you could come back after a day or two of him being there and nothing would be done. Nothing would be done. And you'd say, well, man, I hired you to paint my house. What's the deal? I mean, you got great recommendations. You're the best guy that could do that. I mean, you're like the Michelangelo of house painters. I mean, you're the man. What's happened here? Nothing's happened here. There's no paint on the walls. He would, you know what he'd say? He'd say, I don't have any paint. I'm going somewhere. You didn't give me anything to work with. Well, God, I'm waiting on you to do some. Holy Spirit, I'm waiting you to do something. But see, the Holy Spirit works with the Word. It works. He works and brings to your remembrance the things that Jesus said to us. So you can't have peace apart from God's Word. Because it's not anywhere else. It's only in Him. Does that make sense? I mean, God can't give you something that's separate from Him.
There you go.
Y'all chew on it. Think about it. How could God give you peace without giving you Himself?
That's right.
There is no peace outside of Him. How could He give you peace without giving His Word? I mean, that's where it is. It comes through the knowledge of God. That's what Peter said. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As long as you're talking about the problem, thinking about the problem, you'll never have peace, because peace doesn't come from that. It only comes from God. You'll never get your house painted until you get some paint.
That's right.
Woo! Painter works with paint. God works with the Word. Amen. And so that being said, this is what Jesus is saying. After He said all that about keeping His Word, about the Holy Spirit teaching His Word, and the Holy Spirit bringing to our remembrance His Word, then He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. There again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's your choice. Find out what God said. You know, the other day I was playing around with the word peace, and I mentioned this the other night, or the other Sunday, or whenever I preached it. That peace, I just wrote it out, P-A-P-E-A. You know, an atheist that's dyslexic does not believe in a dog. But anyway. Yeah, you'll get that one. Y'all get that when you get home. But anyway, peace, P-E-A-C-E, as an acronym. Okay. I just thought about it. It just came to me. Putting everything at Christ's expense.
Right.
So you just place it all at on his account. He paid the price. He took care of it. Find the promise, because there it is. He took care of it. By His stripes we're healed. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. Took our sin. Took our sickness. He paid for it all. So put everything on His account. Put everything at Christ's expense. Amen. That'll give you peace. Quit trying to carry it. Cast your cares upon Him. He cares for you. But then I got to thinking about that word again. Peace. P-E. A-C-E, spelled correctly, that is. And I just realized that the peace always has to do with the promise. It always has to do with the promise of God. It always has to do with what God says. It always comes down to, you know, happy is he who keeps my law. You know, great peace have they that love my law. And if you're taught of the Lord, you know, Isaiah 48:17, thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the one that teaches thee to profit, that leads thee by the way that you should go. 18th verse says, "Oh, that you'd hearken to my commandments. Then had your peace been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." River of peace comes from hearkening to the commandments of God and allowing God to teach us and teach us. And lead. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. It comes from teaching, from the Word. So anyway, I got to meditating on that. So I wrote out peace again. And it's praying the promise. And it's expecting the promise. And it's acting on the promise. And it's choosing to stay with the promise. And then, of course, you'll end up experiencing the promise. P-E-A-C-E. Praying, expecting, acting, choosing, and experiencing. Hallelujah. And that's what you see in the Word. I'm not, you know, I made that up, but I felt like an anointing there. And it agrees with what God says. We have an obligation to get in the Word and get the Word in us. And we have got to get the promise in front of our eyes. We've got to know that we know that we know that God's bigger than this situation, bigger than this tragedy, bigger than this crisis, bigger than this loss, if that's the case. And that there's hope. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 10. Trouble everywhere. You know, trouble, as far as an attitude, it's just a mindset. You can have a trouble attitude. You can have a peaceful attitude. You can have an outlook that's just going to, I don't care what's happening, you're going to have peace. And it's a discipline. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of looking at things. And what this is the right way to look at things. God's Word. God's Word is the right way to look at things. It's the right outlook.
Amen?
Amen? It's the right way to see things. And the problem with us in most cases, we're not seeing things right because we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. You've got to look at it from God's Word. Now, from God's Word, our future is bright. You've got to wear shades, I'm telling you. From God's Word, everything begins to open up. And we begin to see more clearly. Because really, as I said earlier in this service, that you know, you get a higher perspective when you get in God's Word. And the higher you get, the more you see. I love that. Do you know God promotes you? You know, we talk about promotion. That's raising you up too. And the more you serve God, the more you're promoted spiritually speaking. And so the more you serve God, the more you're promoted, the higher you are and the more you see. You see more now than you did 10 years ago, if you've been a Christian that long. You see more now than you did last year. You'll see more and more the more you serve God because you're steadily getting higher.
Yeah, that's true.
And you see more.
Right.
You can even flip the coin and go the other way. It's like being an ocean. The deeper you get, the more you see down there. The deeper you get in God, the more you see too. You just playing around on the surface and seeing all that stuff floating around the top, but you're missing all the treasures down deep. If you get deep in God, you'll see some things you'll never see on the surface. So, Lord, take me higher and take me deeper. Woo! Okay, enough with the metaphors. Now, Luke 10, for now. Yeah, I'll see how long that lasts. Luke 10. I love this. I preached one time a sermon called The Cure for a Troubled Heart. And I think I used some of the verses out of John. And then here in Luke, the 10th chapter, I remember preaching this passage of Scripture. Luke 10, 38 says, "Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, I didn't tell it here, but they also had a brother named Lazarus. Remember that, Lazarus? And Jesus raised him from the dead. I love that story. When, you know, Jesus had to say, "Lazarus, come forth," because if he just said, "Come forth," all the graves had opened up. I mean, I believe that. If he just stood there in the graveyard and said, "Come forth," man, every one of them would have come out. Had to be specific. Lazarus? Let's get the right man here. Don't a bunch of people coming out of the grave, you know. Yeah, and it's going to happen. Yeah, one day he is going to shout. Ooh. And the dead in Christ will rise. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the sound of a trump, and the trump shall sound. Oh. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. I love that. You know, I always say that's a good saying to put on the nursery. They shall not all sleep, but they shall be changed. Okay. Oh, somebody stop me. Now, 39th verse says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sat at his feet and heard his word. Wow. Next verse. But Martha was distracted. Y'all get it? Now, this is what's unique about this. I think this is so neat, because she wasn't distracted with sin per se. She was actually distracted by doing good things. You can be distracted serving God. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think you can ever burn out serving God as long as you keep your relationship straight and stay in the Word. You know, people have asked about burnout, pastoring. Don't you burn out pastoring? How could you burn out pastoring? The only way I could burn out pastoring is to quit seeking God, get out of His Word, and quit worshiping the Lord. Now, I believe you can burn out serving God, but you cannot burn out ministering to God. Anytime you start burning out, it's because you're not ministering, you're not keeping yourself straight. Oh, you get busy doing the work of God and get burnt completely out. But you'll never burn out if you keep your relationship right with God. It just gets sweeter every day. Don't you get tired of teaching? Are you kidding? Give a dog a bone. I love to teach. I love to preach. Well, how do you set time aside to study? Goodness gracious, I love to study. I love to read the Bible. I love to go through books and read about the history and the culture and the Greek words and the Hebrew words. And I just love to put it all together and think about it and pray and seek God. I mean, I love doing that. It's not a job. This is my calling. Are you with me? Now, whatever your calling is, doesn't matter if it's that or whatever. You spend time in God's Word and you worship God, you will never, ever burn out.
Right.
Never. You know, Peter talked about some things you do. He says, you do these, you'll never fall.
Right.
That's a pretty bold statement. That's almost arrogant when you think about it. But it is the truth nonetheless. And anytime you ever fail or I fall, if you go through that list of things Peter talked about, there's some or you missed it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So here, Martha was doing things for God, but she missed the most important thing. She was distracted even with serving God. You know, I've had work days where I've come down here and worked and done things, and maybe we've had outreaches or something like that, and maybe a lot of people didn't show up, sometimes none, you know. And then you start crying and start playing that old song, you know, nobody knows the trouble I see, and, you know, nobody cares, and I'm out here all by myself, and nobody sees me, and, you know, and for long, it's just all about you. You start singing that song, it's all about me. Well, the song's all about you, Jesus, not you, me, okay? Hello. And Martha started singing that tune. And I tell you, when you start singing that tune, when you get your eyes off Jesus, you'll always sing that tune. And you can be doing things for God and start singing that tune. But you've gotten out of the Word. You're not thinking about the promise. You're not trusting God. Your faith left. You're not believing. You're not trusting. I don't care what you say. You're not trusting God. Because if you're trusting God, you're not miserable. Peace comes from trusting God, not turmoil. If I get all upset and overwhelmed by something, you know, going on, and it happens, you know, and anytime you get mad or blow your top or give somebody a piece of your mind. You know, I like that old saying. That's why you don't have any mind left. You've given away so many pieces. And if you start slinging mud, just remember this. The more mud you sling, the more ground you lose. That's right. But you know when that happens is when you lose your focus. You get distracted.
Yeah, that's right.
You get frustrated. You feel like you're in a box. Well, you're not in a box. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. You've got a bright future. God loves you. He's for you. You'll get through this. Maybe you've got a lot happening in your life, but you will survive, praise God. Not only will you survive, but you'll come out smelling like a rose.
Hallelujah.
You'll have victory if you'll trust God and believe God. Amen? Amen? Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? Now it's not just her sister. It's the Lord. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I mean, you know, it's gone from blaming her to blaming the Lord now. The Lord's got to do something about this now. I mean, you know, I got a big problem, and it's God. No, it's not you. I mean, that's the same. That is the same line that Adam used in the garden. Adam, God said, did you eat the fruit I told you not to eat of? The woman you gave me. That's what he said. She gave me that fruit and I ate it. Lord, it's your fault. You gave me the woman. See, we miss that a lot of times. Read through there and just says, you know, he's blaming Eve. Well, he wasn't just blaming Eve. He was blaming God for giving him that woman. The woman you gave me. Playing that old blame game. We live in a nation of victims. It's everybody else's fault. If you want peace, you're going to have to get out of that mindset. You've got to get out of that victim mode and get on the victory road. You've got to decide you can do something about this. You can trust God. You can believe God. And it's not Mary's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not the government's fault. Hello. It's not the media's fault. It's not the politician's fault. It's not a race's fault. Black, white, Hispanic, you know, Asian, whatever. It has nothing to do with that at all. There's no race in God. We're one in Christ Jesus. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. You trust God, you can come out of that mess. It's the way I was raised. Doesn't matter how you were raised. Well, my daddy had this problem. My mama had this problem. That had anything to do with it. What has to do with your future is your faith, what you believe. He said, well, I got all this going on. I mean, it's just so bad. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, quit talking like that and start talking to promise. Sit down at Jesus' feet. Take a little time and spend a little time with Jesus. Be still and know that He is God. And that when you do that, peace will come. Now, notice what Jesus said here. First of all, it says, Martha was distracted, 40th verse, with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I don't think we often see the humor of this. And we just read through like Jesus is Spock on Star Trek, no emotion, you know. Martha, Martha. No, Jesus laughed. He cried. You know, if you saw him, I guarantee you he was shaking his head when he said this. Martha, Martha. And probably smiling when he said it. You are troubled about many things. Really, I mean, think about it. This is real. This is Jesus. He's a real person. He's God and he was man. And he says, Martha, Martha. Martha, 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 Martha. Like Cary Grant. Judy, 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 Judy. And this was Martha, Martha, though. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Now, she only mentioned one thing. She just said, I need her to help me. But Jesus saw she had a problem. She had an attitude problem. She had a heart problem. And her problem was her. Are you with me? That's a big revelation when you get a hold of that. When you find out you're the enemy. Now, I know we have an enemy, the devil, but sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And many times we are the problem. We're blaming everybody else, but it's really us. I can guarantee you when it comes to peace, it's nobody's fault except us. Because if we believe God, we can get peace. You got to make the choice to do so. Peace is a decision. It is a choice, and it's also your responsibility. Now, you can't always control everything that happens in life. I understand that. I believe there's a lot you can divert, and I believe there's a lot of things you can change, but you can't change everything. I can't change everything in life. I mean, as much as I believe the Bible stands on the Word, there's still the Bible's very plain. There's people involved here, and I can't change everybody. Amen. I can change me. I can change me. And I can change a lot of things happening, but that still doesn't have anything to do with my peace, though. Whether I can change something or not doesn't have anything to do with my peace. That has to do with my word level, my level of knowledge of the Word, and my level of faith or trust in the Word, my relationship with the Lord, and how much I'm believing God and trusting God in the middle of this situation. And so he said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. I can see right now you got lots of problems, Martha, and they're of your own making. Hello. Not what we always want to hear. You know, often we go to counsel. We don't want counsel. We just want to use a big word. We want approbation. We want people to approve of what we're doing. We don't need any more advice. We know what we're doing. We just need somebody to agree with us. We're doing the right thing. And if we say in counseling something other than what someone wants to hear, they just go to another counselor and they find somebody that'll agree with them. Oh, I used to go to that person. I quit going there. They told me to do something else. Hello. Boy, this is good preaching tonight. Y'all, is this helping you?
Good.
And Jesus, 41st verse, said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing's needed. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what tragedy you're facing, what crisis you're facing, what battle you're going through, what mountain's on your horizon, what chasm is in front of you. But there's one thing that's needed here. One thing. And he says this. He says, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What was the good part that Mary chose? She chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Therefore, she was not troubled. So the good part is always to choose God's word. But notice also, she chose. She chose. Mary chose. And you have a choice. And I have a choice. You have a choice to have peace, or you have a choice not to. You have a choice to stay troubled, or you have a choice to come out of your trouble. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. Wow, that's good stuff. I love that. That's powerful. I don't think we often look at that way. It's really often really easy just to say, well, whatever happens, happens, and God's trying to do something in my life and nothing I can do about it. But the problem is it's not scriptural. It's not biblical at all. And actually, it gives you no hope. I have no hope at all if I have no ways of making a difference or making a change. Are you with me? But you know what? I can make a difference, and I can change. I do have a will, and I can make choices. I can choose to believe God. I can choose to have peace. I can't change everything out here, but I can sure make a difference in here. Are you with me? I can make a lot of difference out here, but I tell you, my main difference is right in here. The changes I make in me are the biggest changes I can make in life, period. And I start those changes by sitting at His feet and hearing what He has to say and putting my faith and my trust in what He says instead of what I see out here, and walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Because He'll keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind stayed on Him because I trust in Him. And He fills me with peace and joy in believing by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost that's doing it, but He's working with the word I'm believing. Just like a painter is working with the paint I'm supplying. That good?
Good.
Has to do with your thought life. One more passage, we'll close out. So what's the one thing? Hear what Jesus has to say. And what is that? That is a choice. Thank God I got a choice. Hallelujah, I don't have to go under. Praise God, I can go over. I don't have to accept everything. It's coming down. You know, when somebody knocks on my door, if somebody came to my door with a bag of rattlesnakes, I wouldn't take it. Let me give you some advice. Don't you take it either.
Don't worry.
Hello.
That's right.
I mean, we'll laugh at that, but you don't have anything. We just accept it comes along. The devil's offering us. Don't you accept. Don't you take that. No, you pray. You get on your knees. You get the promise in view here. Let's get the Word of God in view. Let's sit at Jesus' feet. Let's hear what He has to say about this. And let's trust Him instead of that thing, that happening, that circumstance. Okay, Philippians 4. You'll know this as we turn to it. Philippians 4 chapter. We'll close out with this. Peace. It's a choice. Philippians, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You know how to remember that. Gentiles eat pork chops. Okay. Philippians 4. Some of y'all are kind of slow getting these things, but that's all right. I get so tickled thinking about how many of these you're going to get when you're driving home. You'll get tickled going down the road because you'll finally catch it. But anyway. Okay, let's turn to pork chops here. Philippians 4, verse 6, very familiar scripture. Be anxious, fretful, worried for nothing. King James says careful. There's nothing wrong with telling someone be careful. We don't use that term today as they did in King James time, King Jimmy time. Back then when you said careful in 1611, I think it's when the New Testament, the King James Version was written. Back in that time when you said careful, it meant strongly worry, anxiety. Today when we say careful, be careful when someone goes, we don't mean that at all. We're just saying use wisdom, be circumspect, use wisdom. Now, I generally don't say careful just because of my King Jimmy upbringing. But I understand we don't mean that when we use it today. But now when you see it in King James, it was not a good word. It wasn't being cautious. It wasn't use wisdom. It meant worry. Are you with me? And that's why in the New King James it just says, in the sixth verse, it says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety. We get the word anxiety from it. Troubled mind. Anxiety. Well, be anxious for nothing. Well, there again, now he's telling me to do something about it, isn't he? I mean, this is like a command, isn't it? When he says, don't you worry. Well, I'm waiting on God to do something. I don't want to worry, but I can't help it. Well, no, that's not what he says. He says you can help it. In fact, he tells you not to do it. Amen. You know, when somebody just blubbering, you grab and you slap and say, now quit that. Now stop that. You know, I mean, you can't do that all the time. Sometimes there's a time to weep and there's a time to mourn with people. But I'm talking about, you know, life and all the stuff that comes with life. You finally got to get a hold of yourself. Maybe you've cried over a situation, but get back up on your feet. Let's believe God. Ask yourself a question. What are we going to do about it? That's the question. And the answer is you can do something about it. You can do something about this. You can. You can believe God. That's what we're going to do. You know, I've learned a long time ago that whatever happens in life, I'm going to believe God. I don't know everything that's ever going to happen to me. I don't know. I don't have exhaustive foreknowledge. I'm not God. I don't know everything. There's no way I could. You couldn't. I don't know every little scenario that's going to take place in my life. I mean, those scenarios change as you age and as you make new friends and, you know, go into new ventures and so on and so forth. You could never guess what's going to happen to you tomorrow, next week, or next month. But you know, one thing you can be sure of if you're a Christian and you've got a good habit of doing this and you do it regularly over and over all the time, you can be sure of this, no matter what happens, you're going to believe God. I'm convinced of that. I don't say that arrogantly. I don't mean it arrogantly at all, because I'm nothing without Him. But I know over and over God has come through for me, and His Word has always been true, and He's never failed. May not be early all the time, but He's never late. Might have to wait a little while, but it doesn't matter. It'll come past. His Word's true. His Word's not bound. So I know whatever happens, however bad it is, however overwhelming it is, how seemingly over my head it is, how many times life throws everything at you and it's just over your head. I mean, come on, in the natural, we know that. But, I mean, that's okay. That's all right. It's not over God's head.
There you go. That's right.
And when I'm just a shell of a man, there's nothing left. I mean, I'm a mostly wreck as it was. I just don't have anything left, it seems like. I can't take another hit or another phone call, and I've had days like that. I don't throw the towel in. I look up. I say, God, I am trusting you. I am trusting you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. And every time, God always comes through. When I think I can't handle another thing. And I've had days like that. As a pastor, I've had days where people died. And I had a missionary call one time. His wife called. His guy's in the hospital. And they thought he was going to die. Didn't know what was going to happen. It wasn't Walt. I mean, I remember when that happened, when he had that stroke. But I got a call that day, and they didn't have the money to pay it. And I said, well, look, we'll send some money up there. Don't you worry about it. I started praying. It was somebody I knew real well. I got a call immediately right after that. Somebody's house burned down in a church. I got a call immediately right after that. Somebody died. And I am sitting there thinking, I don't even want to answer the phone. I mean, I'm trying to minister to each one of them, you know, and I'm getting tapped. I'm just in the natural. I'm just getting tapped. I'm thinking, I'm just human, you know, come on. But that's when you got to get supernatural, see. That's when you got to pass from human to supernatural. Faith man, hallelujah. Born again, new creature man. That's what I am. What I can't do, He can do. Where I lack, He takes up the slack. You got to dig deep. Sometimes you got to dig real deep. Because I'm just shaking. At that point, with the tragedy, you know, that thinking, I've got to leave that afternoon and go minister to this family that died. I did 3 funerals in 1 week. You know, bam, bam, bam. Just members or members' husbands in the church. Bam, bam, bam. Nothing wrong with three funerals, but I mean, it was just, I was just running back and forth trying to minister to the family and come back, do a funeral, come back, minister to the family, get back once somebody else died. You know, and you think, well, how in the world do you do that? Well, I really don't. God does. That's when you dig deep. That's when you believe. That's when you trust. That's when you put your mind on God. Now, it may be something else. It may be a loss in your life or tragedy in your life. I'm just telling you, don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw the towel in. Don't you be anxious about it. When you start feeling anxiety and you start shaking, you feel like you can't take another step. You're like an eggshell. You'll break one more step, one more call. You had better start trusting God. You can make a difference. You can change that. And he says that in the sixth verse. He says, be anxious, fretful, worried for nothing. Anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. What a promise. But notice that promise has conditions. You got to back up and read that sixth verse. Are you with me? You get that seventh verse. If you want the seventh verse, you got to do the sixth verse. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to go under here. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to fret about this. I'm not going to get in turmoil about this. I am not going to get anxiety over this. I'm not going to have to take twice my blood pressure medicine. Hello. Not going to happen. The peace of God's going to keep my heart in mind. And then he says this, 8th verse, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. What is the truth? God's Word. Whatever things are noble. What's noble and high? God's Word. Whatever things are just. What's just? God. Life's not just, but God is. How's life treating you? Not too good, but God treats me great. Amen. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed and can't be cursed. Yeah. Well, what is just? God is. What's pure? Only God and His Word. His Word is pure. Whatever things are lovely, His Word, His promises. Whatever things are of good report. You want a good report? Right here. Brother Osteen used to get on planes and he'd sit down and people would sit beside him, businessmen or whatever, and they'd open up newspaper and he'd grab his Bible and he'd punch me and say, you got the bad news? I got the good news. This is the good report. Amen. Whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue or power, I'll tell you, there is some power in this, in the midst of a tragedy or a trial. It is the power of God through His Word if you'll trust and believe Him. If there be any power, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. There's that battle that's in your mind. It's what you're thinking about. It's what you're meditating on. It's inside. Peace comes from the inside. Think on these things. Ninth verse, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do them. Keep my words, what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. These things do. These things what? The things you learn, the word. If you'll do the word, the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that good? Saying the same thing Jesus said over there in John 14, 23 through 27 there, where he talked about, if you love me, keep my words, the Holy Spirit will teach you, bring the remembrance and so on. And then he said, peace I leave with you. And the same thing he really told Martha, 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 thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needful here. And Mary has chosen that good part, which is the word. So peace is a decision to trust God. Peace is a choice. And you can have it. How many of you want it?
Amen.
I'm going for it. Amen.